you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Your 1% treaty is a piece of paper that says every signatory nation redirects 1% of its annual military budget to enable any patient to participate in pragmatic clinical trials for the most promising new treatments. The math. The problem. The world spends $2.72 trillion a year on military forces. The hack. If every nation reduces military spending by 1% at the same time, the balance of power remains identical. No country becomes more vulnerable. The prize? That 1%, $27.2 billion a year, is redirected to fund clinical trials for every human disease. For comparison, $27.2 billion is roughly what Americans spend on Valentine's Day and what humans spend on pet food every 3 months. How it works. Funding creates a $27.2 billion a year revenue stream for the 1% treaty fund. Execution. A network of decentralized institutes of health subsidizes patient participation in a decentralized FDA, clinical trials that are 44.1 times cheaper than the current model. Governance. Global population via wishocracy with transparent auditable rules and automated fund allocation. Transparency. All research, data, and spending published on public ledger. This isn't a trade-off. It's like if everyone in your neighborhood spent their life savings on attack dogs and then called it a safe community because all the dogs are equally vicious. When every nation builds 1% fewer explosion devices at the same time, you get two good things. You become safer. The global "you might all die by accident" temperature drops 1%. Fewer chances of someone pressing the wrong button, which happens more than you'd think. You stop dying from stupid things. That $27.2 billion pays sick people to try treatments instead of waiting for death. Economists call this a Kaldor-Hicks improvement, which is their way of saying the winners win more than the losers lose, and we've decided that counts. In practice, some defense contractors lose 1% of their contracts. In exchange, they and everyone they love become less likely to die of cancer. Most people consider this a good trade. Defense contractors are still doing the math. The dead capital problem, or why bombs are the worst investment since tulips. When countries invest in military hardware, they're not buying assets. They're buying very expensive paperweights that occasionally explode. A bridge generates economic activity daily. Trucks move, people commute, value flows. Lasts 50 to 100 years. Makes everyone richer. Pretty to look at. A missile. Sits in a hole doing nothing, costs $1.5 billion a year just to keep it from rotting, can only destroy things, including itself, makes everyone nervous. This is what economists call dead capital, resources trapped in a form that can't generate returns. It's like converting your house into a pile of TNT. Impressive, but you can't live in it, rent it out, or do anything except eventually blow it up, at which point you have neither a house nor TNT. As President Eisenhower, a five-star general who knew about killing professionally, put it, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed." He literally ran the biggest military in history, and even he thought you were being ridiculous about this. A 1% treaty doesn't ask you to spend $27.2 billion curing diseases. It asks you to redirect $27.2 billion from the least useful 1% of your military budget to things that make you richer and less dead. The blueprint. Treaties are pieces of paper that countries sign when they want to pretend they'll behave. Sometimes they work, you haven't had World War III yet. Sometimes they don't, you've had about 200 other wars. But they're the only tool you have for getting countries to do anything together besides kill each other. What each country pays. Every signatory nation contributes exactly 1% of their military budget to the 1% treaty fund. The USA contributes $8.86 billion. Won't even notice. They've failed to account for over $2.46 trillion. China contributes $2.96 billion. What they spend on military parades. India contributes $835 million. One aircraft carrier's wine budget. Russia contributes $1.09 billion, Putin's shirt budget. Saudi Arabia contributes $754 million, one prince's yacht. The UK contributes $686 million. France contributes $563 million, military cheese allocation, and so on. Why this is actually about national security? No, really. What actually threatens nations today? Real threats that actually kill people, pandemics. COVID killed more Americans than World War II, Korea, and Vietnam combined. Cancer kills 10 million globally per year. Heart disease, 18 million annual deaths. Dementia, destroying the minds of every nation's elderly and sometimes their leaders. Climate disasters, making entire regions uninhabitable. Mental health crisis. More people kill themselves than die in wars. Overfunded threats that countries spend trillions on. Other countries attacking. It happens. It's real. Ask Ukraine. But disease kills 225 more people every year, and you're funding them in the opposite ratio. Terrorists kill fewer people than furniture accidents. A 1% treaty addresses the real threats. It doesn't weaken your ability to handle the conventional ones. You keep 99% of your weapons. If 99% of your military can't handle the job, the last 1% wasn't going to save you. The rebranding campaign, from weakness to strategic genius. Politicians hate looking weak. It's their biggest fear, right after having to use their own healthcare system. So you don't frame this as reducing military spending. You frame it as the Strategic Health Defense Initiative. The old frame, we're cutting defense by 1%, is political suicide. The new frame, we're building a biodefense shield against the real threats, is political genius. Same policy, different adjective. Your species can be manipulated with adjectives. This is simultaneously the most depressing and most useful fact about you. The talking points that make hawks sound like doves. For conservatives, this is the ultimate America First policy. We're protecting American lives from the Chinese virus and any future biological threats. It's the Strategic Defense Initiative for the 21st century. For liberals, we're redirecting the tools of war to the cause of healing. This is how we build a more just and equitable world. For nationalists, our nation grows stronger when our people stop dying of diseases we can prevent. A healthy population is a powerful population. for economists, the ROI on the $1 billion campaign to pass it is 84.8 million to 1. On paper, that beats every public health intervention on record. For conspiracy theorists, Big Pharma hates this one weird trick that makes medicine basically free. For everyone, your mom has cancer. This might cure it. Sign here. The money flow. The 1% treaty fund. $27.2 billion annually from military budgets flows into the 1% treaty fund, an 80-10-10 automatic split before any funds reach discretionary spending. 80% of the fund, or $21.8 billion, goes to pragmatic clinical trials for patient subsidies, R&D, and pandemic prep. 10%, or $2.72 billion, goes to victory incentive alignment bond returns for perpetual investor payments. The final 10%, or $2.72 billion, goes to incentive alignment bond political incentives as rewards for supporting legislators. Notice what this does. It disentangles money from influence. In current government budgets, the people who provide the money, lobbyists, donors, also control where it goes. Money buys influence, influence redirects money, and the loop is invisible. Here, investors get money, 10%, politicians get career incentives, 10%, neither group touches the 80% that goes to clinical trials. The corruption is capped, transparent, and separated from the public goods funding. The 80% for pragmatic clinical trials is distributed by the actual people of Earth via wishocracy, not by a committee of 12 people in a conference room who haven't had a new idea since 1987. Every human gets direct say on funding priorities. Yes, even Florida man. Year one projected outcomes. Only 1.9 million participate in drug trials annually out of 2.4 billion people with chronic disease. With a 1% treaty plus a decentralized FDA, the current cost per patient is $41,000, but with the treaty, it is $929, 44.1 times cheaper. Current funding of $60 billion increases by $27.2 billion from the treaty. Current participants of 1.9 million patients per year grow to 23.4 million, a 12.3 times increase. The incentive structure. The military-industrial complex gets to keep 99% of their budget, still plenty for bombs, pivot 1% to biotech, the health market is growing, the bomb market just got 1% smaller, look like heroes, rare for arms dealers, invest in the fund, victory incentive alignment bonds, pay 272% annually, and not die of cancer, especially the not dying of cancer part. The CEO of Lockheed Martin has the same cells you do. Those cells malfunction on the same schedule. No amount of missile production has ever cured a tumor. Lockheed Martin presents the F-35 cancer killer. Boeing, proud sponsor of Not Dying of Alzheimer's. Raytheon Technologies, now with 1% less death. They keep their contracts, they keep their profits, they just point 1% of their death machines at actual death. What happens if this actually works? The end game. A 1% treaty isn't the goal, it's the proof of concept. I've watched roughly 10,000 civilizations reach this exact fork in the road. The ones still around all started with something like 1%, and the ones that didn't are geological features now. Once your species gets a taste of spending money on things that help instead of things that explode, you'll want more. The ratchet effect. Once a 1% treaty is signed and the first cures start rolling out, the system becomes more valuable. Every 5 to 10 years, you hold another global vote. Grandma's dementia is manageable now. Want to try another 0.5%? More cures lead to more popular support, which leads to more votes for more funding, which leads to more cures. The end game? countries bragging about their cancer survival rates instead of their missile counts. For quantitative projections of health and economic impacts, visit impact.warondisease.org. Avoiding treaty pitfalls. Treaties fail in predictable ways. They all fail for the same boring reasons. Here's how this one avoids the common killers. Reservation games. Countries love to sign treaties, then add exceptions that gut them. It's like joining a gym, but reserving the right to never go. Solution? No reservations permitted. All or nothing. Take it or leave it. Provisional application. Takes effect on signature. Ratification just formalizes what already started. Creative accounting. Reclassify military spending as peacekeeping or homeland security to dodge obligations. Incentive alignment bonds, or IABs, make creative accounting self-defeating. Politicians who benefit from treaty compliance have personal financial incentive to ensure their nation's full 1% contribution flows through. Reclassifying military spending to dodge obligations reduces IAB returns for that nation's own legislators, the same people who control budget classifications. Parliamentary obstacles. Executive signs. Legislature refuses to implement. Solution. The treaty obligates the percentage. Congress implements via the annual National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, after Medellin versus Texas, 2008. The Supreme Court made clear that not all treaties are self-executing, so the treaty doesn't try to bypass Congress. It creates a binding international obligation that Congress fulfills through its normal appropriations process, the same way NATO's spending commitments work. The IAB mechanism ensures legislators have a personal incentive to include the 1% line item every year. Summary. A 1% treaty is a piece of paper that says, let's spend 1% less on killing and 1% more on not dying. That's it. That's the whole thing. It doesn't end war. It doesn't destroy the military. It doesn't create world peace. It just moves the first 1% of your murder budget to your survival budget. If you can't agree on that, if you can't agree that spending one penny less on death and one penny more on life is a good idea, then you deserve whatever's coming. Addendum. The actual treaty text, first draft. The treaty for the 1% reallocation of military expenditures towards biomedical research and development for the prevention of human suffering and death, or the Let's Not Die Treaty for short. Whereas humanity spends $2.72 trillion annually on methods of killing itself. Whereas this seems somewhat counterproductive. Whereas diseases kill more people than all wars combined and don't even have the decency to be quick about it. Whereas we have nuclear weapons sufficient to end civilization 13 times but haven't cured Alzheimer's once. Whereas this is embarrassing. Now, therefore, the undersigned nations agree to try a different approach, as follows. Article 1. Each signatory shall redirect exactly 1% of its annual military budget to the 1% treaty fund for allocation to pragmatic clinical trials. Article 2. Transfers shall be automatic, immediate, and irrevocable. No, we'll get to it later. Article 3. Percentages may increase, but never decrease. This is a ratchet, not a yo-yo. Article 4. Compliance shall be verified by public ledger and independent audits. No creative accounting. Article 5. Non-compliant parties lose access to IAB benefits and treaty fund advantages. Your opponents get what you forfeit. Article 6. Success metrics trigger mandatory percentage reviews. When it works, we do more. Article 7. Citizens have standing to enforce via domestic courts. You can sue your own government for non-compliance. Article 8. Withdrawal requires unanimous consent of all parties plus 10-year notice. Good luck with that. Article 9. This treaty supersedes all conflicting domestic law. Yes, even that law. Article 10, entry into force upon signature by two states. You only need two countries brave enough to go first. In witness whereof, the undersigned, being of sound mind and tired of watching their loved ones die of preventable diseases, have executed this treaty, signed this day, blank, in the year of our ongoing confusion. Nation name? We choose life, I guess. P.S. Yes, this includes space weapons. Nice try. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.